For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It's May 14th in Derech Hashem. We're in Chelek Dal Perek Dalid, which is entitled B'Kriya Shema U'Berachos Seha, and it's a very long perek. We'll get half of it done today, Mirtz Hashem, the other half next week. So, Kriya Shema is something that is said every day. Men have a chiyuv to say it twice a day, once in the morning and once at night. And even though women don't have a chiyuv to say it, but women who are able to daven, it is considered to be one of the top things that a woman should make time for, at least the first pasuk. At least the first pasuk, if possible, which is Kabbalas Olmachu Shamayim. And the pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is said probably more frequently than, I don't know, than any other pasuk, than most psukim are said. You say it a lot. In davening, in the morning, so it's said once before Pesukei Dezimra. If you daven in Shul, they have it once before Pesukei Dezimra. Then, of course, Shema itself. Some have it in the Nusach when at the end of Az Yashir. It says, V'saras Chakos of Lamar. It's said when we take out the Torah on Shabbos. It's a pasuk. You find it in other places. Also, you find it in the long Tachnon. You find it in various places. And all the slichas have it. It's a very common pasuk. And of course, we know that a person who is being killed al kiddush Hashem, so it's appropriate to say Shema Yisrael. Now, the pasuk is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So translated, hear Yisrael, or listen Yisrael, or understand Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our Eloka, whatever that means, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. So the Ramchal is going to dissect the pasuk. We won't get to all of it tonight. We'll get to part of it tonight, but he's going to dissect it so that we understand what the kavana is. When a person says Shema, so we know that the minhag is to put one's hand over one's eyes, or at least to close one's eyes. You don't actually have to put your hand there. If you're not, you could just close your eyes. But it's in order to have the most kavana possible. And it's a pasuk that one is supposed to think about what they're saying as they are saying it. So you can have the very simple Pirush HaMilus. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. The Rashi says it in Chumash is Hashem who we recognize now as Elokeinu. In the future, will be recognized as everybody is Eloka. Right now it's Elokeinu, but really he's the Eloka of everybody. Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Now, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one. Often people limit that to the understanding, which is true, that there is only one Hashem, which is true. Anoch Hashem Elokecha, lo yelecha lehimachem alpanai, right? So there is only one Hashem, Hashem Echad. But there's another equally important meaning to Echad. Anybody know what that is? Besides the fact that Hashem is one, that there are no other Hashems.
The Din and the Rachamim, that both.
Okay, that's a good way. That is an example. But Hashem Echad, in addition to meaning that there are no other gods, Chas V'Shalom, it also means that Hashem himself is one uniform being. He doesn't have parts. There are no pieces to Hashem. He doesn't have besides the fact he doesn't have a body, as we do, but he doesn't have a front and a back, a right and a left. He doesn't have a soft side and a more rigid side. He doesn't have a happy side and a sad side. He doesn't have he doesn't have a Yetzer Tov and a Yetzer Ra. Hashem is completely uniform. It's just one. He is one. He is the epitome of Echad. In fact, there is nothing else in the world that is Echad but Hashem. Everything else that when we use the term Echad on any other object or anything, not just object, any concept, any idea that we use the word, it is the only, fill in the blank, that's a borrowed term. Because nothing is Echad but Hashem. Everything else has parts, has pieces, has competition, has pulls and pushes. Can do this day and this the other day. Hashem doesn't change. Hashem just is. And there are no parts or pieces to him. That's included in the Echad. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem is the only one, and he is one. He is the definition of Echad. So when we talked about, back in the beginning when we started Derech Hashem, we talked about that Hashem is Tov, Hashem is Shlemus, which is all true. You can also use the word Echad as a definition, which means even though we can't define Hashem, but it is true, it is Emes, that he is Echad. And there is no other Echad that is as much an Echad as him. Everything else, it's a borrowed term. When you say, this is the only time in history that in Atlanta, Georgia, in July, it fell below freezing. It's the only time in history it ever happened. It may be the only time in history it ever happened, but it's still not only. It's still not singular, because it's a day. And there are other days that are also days. And there are other days that things happen that don't happen any other time. And the other days that happen in Atlanta. There are similarities. There's other parts to it. Plus, even the day itself that you say, in July, in Atlanta, it fell below freezing. But even that, at one point it was 31 degrees, and it was 31.2 degrees, it was 30.3 degrees. It fluctuated. It wasn't an exact thing. So it's a borrowed term when we say it's the only time it ever, it's the only, use the word only, always a borrowed term, because the true only is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. There is no other Echad but him. All this is included when you say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And that's why the word Echad is the most complex of the terms that we're using over there, which is ironic, because Echad, more than anything else, connotes simplicity. It's a totally simple, just one. There's no parts. There's nothing. It's so simple that we can't conceive of it. Isn't that ironic? You would think the more simple it is, the easier it is to grasp it. But since we have never encountered anything in our experience that is as simple as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't even conceive of it. It's almost beyond our ability to think about that it is, just like that. So it makes the word Echad deceptively simple, and in fact it becomes very complicated and complex to think about. And that's why the Gemara says that when you say the word Echad, you're supposed to draw it out in order to think of all the things that go into Echad. So that's why you hear some people going, Echad, right? That's what they're trying to do. Now the problem is that the Gemara says, Beferish, that you're supposed to elongate the word Echad, but not on the Kamatz under the Ches. So what part of Echad is supposed to be elongated?
Dalet.
The Dalet. So how do you do that?
We don't have.
Echad. Right? How do you elongate the Dalet?
Because the Dalet had a dot.
It doesn't have a dot.
No, it's supposed to have a dot.
It's like pronounced differently.
We went over this one of the Sharon. It had a dot.
It's pronounced differently.
Yeah, without the dot.
Oh, without the dot.
Yeah, it doesn't have a Dagesh. And without a Dagesh, a Dalet is supposed to be pronounced either like a the sound, with probably the, like this. So it's really echad. So since it's really not such a hard sound, the hard sound can't be elongated. You can't elongate a k sound or a d sound, right? A hard sound you can't elongate, but a soft sound you can. So th can be elongated. Th. So that's really what the Gemara means. So, so we can't do that today. So you're not supposed to really draw it out, but you're supposed to think about as many of these things as you can when you're saying the word achad. Now, the Ramchal writes in discussing Shema, so he writes that the we already talked about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously, he created the entire world and he created it with a purpose. We know that. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally independent. We're going to talk more about this later. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely independent. There is nothing that Hashem needs. He exists without any cause. Nothing brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into existence. He exists. Always has, always will. That's impossible for the human mind to wrap their themselves around. It's we don't know. Again, we have no experience with anything that always was, is, and will be. So we know that it's true, but it's just impossible to really understand that, because we've never. You can only understand what you've had experience with. You can take two things. The Rambam writes that you can take two things that you've had experience with and put them together. So he said that you can. He writes you can picture a. You can picture a I forget what he uses, a box floating in the air, even though you've never seen it, because you know what a box looks like, and you know what something floating on the ocean looks like. So you can take the picture of the person, of the thing floating in the ocean, take the box, put them together, put them up in the air, and you can picture something hovering in the air, because you're taking your experiences and putting them together into something. But if you've never had the experience, never had the perception, you can't conceive of it. So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always was, is, and will be, we know that, but it's impossible to wrap our minds around it. He was not created. He didn't need anything to be created. He just is. He wasn't brought into, so he was not that. He is not dependent on anything. Never was dependent on anything. He exists just because. Everything else was brought into existence. Everything else is completely dependent. Hashem is totally independent. Does not rely on anything. While everything else is completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just people. Everything besides Hashem. Malachim, everything besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally independent. Now he writes that we're dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two ways. We're dependent on him in terms of existence and in terms of action. We are dependent in terms of existence in that we are only here because he wills us to be here. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rescind that willingness for us to be here, and we won't be here. We only exist because he wills us to be here. More than that, or maybe equal to that, is anything we do is only because he is giving us the kayach to do it. So even this ability of talking to you, moving my head back and forth as I talk, thinking about what I'm trying to say, holding the sefer open with my hand, all of this is action that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving as I'm doing it. So it's not just willing me to exist, he's also giving me the pu'ulos that I'm doing, the kayach for the pu'ulos that I'm doing. In both those ways, we are completely and totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we know that in the world, when I say world, I mean the Olamas. I don't just mean earth. In the Ruchnius de Gewalt, in the Gashmius de Gewalt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, there's also in the Bria, there's Kaychas Hara. There's bad Kaychas. Those Kaychas Hara are either things that Hashem created in order to challenge us, as we know from the beginning of the Sefer, that the only reason why we're here is to reach Shleimus, and without the Kaychas Hara, then there's no way to reach Shleimus, because you can't earn it. And therefore, remember we said, it's not that earning it makes it feel better. It's that if you don't earn it, it's by definition not shalem. Because the definition of shlemus is to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the definition of shlemus. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't given anything as a gift. Everything about him is inherent. So if we would be given anything, we're not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we're given Olam Haba, then it's not being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means it's not shalem, which means it's not Olam Haba. Olam Haba is shlemus, or at least whatever level of shlemus we've reached. In order to be able to have shlemus, there has to be a way that somehow that shlemus belongs to us, which means we earned it. Otherwise, it's by definition not shalem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Koichos Hara in order that we should struggle against it and therefore become the Bailam, become those who possess the Shlemus. So there's Koichos Hara for that reason. And Koichos Hara could also be in the world as a way to punish those who did Averis. Which, another way to put that is, when we do Averis, it brings Koichos Hara into the world. And they directly affect the person who did the Avera, and it affects others as well. Now, we know that the Koichos Hara are also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're not independent. Even though they appear from a superficial level to be working against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the world this way, and the Koichos Hara are pushing the world the other way. So they appear to be independent, but we know it's really all part of one great Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. But it takes, you have to think about that, to know that. So, says the Ramchal, I'm going to read his words in Hebrew, Uma shenichlal od ba'omek zeh ha'inyin, the other thing that is, and what is included in this whole idea is, Hu gilui amitas yichudo yisbarach. It is revealing the truth or the depth of his oneness, Yisbarach. Now, what does that mean? So, it's like this. We know that when we do the right thing, we bring Toiv, Shlemus, Dveikus into the world. Chas v'Shalom, we do the wrong thing, then we pull the world away from the Ribbono Shel'Olam. The world is less Shalem, less Toiv, less Davuk. We understand that. The more that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is brought into the world, the more the Koichos Hara are marginalized, are pushed aside, are buried. The more Hisgalos HaShechina there is, the less room there is for Ra. The less Hiskalas Hashkina there is, the more the Ra is able to expand. So that when the Ribbono Shel Olam is known by people, it's not just that, well, since I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't do Averis, which is of course true. The more I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm less inclined to do an Avera because I know it's wrong and I know, and I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's more than that. The more that one is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the less powerful are the Koichos Hara in the world. So that the pull from the Koichos Hara is diminished. You understand? It's a two-way street. Basher Husham, so I have a taiva. This taiva is being fueled by the koyach of Ra. It's fueling the taiva. Hainayim royois, v'halev chaymed, and then the body does the avera. So I have this taiva, there's the cheeseburger right there, and I have a taiva, I'm using an example which none of us have a taiva for because we've never had any, but those who have had it say that it really is a very, very powerful taiva. So the cheeseburger is sitting right there, and there's a tremendous taiva. The taiva is coming from two directions. Number one, my body is misavef for the cheeseburger. Number two, the cheeseburger is calling out to my body. Now, what I mean to say of that, of course, the cheeseburger doesn't have any, I don't mean to say it has any kind of, thought. What I mean to say is, there's a kayach in the veld of tuma, of ra, of aveira, that is powerful. So my body is naturally drawn to something that looks and tastes good, and there's also a very powerful force in the world that says, taste, look. There's a really powerful force like that. So the greater Hisgalus Hashchina that there is, if I'm more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first of all, that curbs my own taiva, because taiva is really false. It's an artificial feeling that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us, but it's not real. And being more aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu curbs the taiva for many reasons. First of all, it becomes silly. It becomes something which is, it is unimportant comparatively, but also I know it's wrong, and Hashem says not to do it, and I don't want to distance myself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu curbs my taiva. But more than that, the fact that there is an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it happens to be mine, but anybody's awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminishes the kayach of the tumah in the world. It diminishes it. So that voice that's calling out, look, taste, enjoy, that voice gets softer. It gets more dim when there's a greater Hiskalas Hashchina. So says the Ramchal that the bitul hara in the world is when there's a greater Hiskalas Hashchina. And the greater Hiskalas Hashchina comes about through the recognition of Yichudo, of His being Echad. Because His being Echad means that this Koyach of Ra that's here is not independent of Him. It was created by Him for a purpose. It has its job. But the Yetzer Hara doesn't even want me to follow it. The Yetzer Hara wants to lose. The Gemara says that the Satan and Penina are the Shem Shamayim Niskavnu. And the Gemara uses the Satan also along with Penina. It's the Shem Shamayim. The Satan wants to fail. He doesn't want to win. But his job is to try to get us to lose. Right? So it's critical to bring out the Yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We operate in there's three different realms in which the way he puts it over here. There's three different aspects to knowing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus. One is, as we said before, is the fact that we exist. Metzius. Not just us. The Metzius of a Welt. The Metzius of the Bria is something which, that's one aspect. Another aspect is Pu'ula, is what we do. And a third aspect is time itself. Because there's different Bechinas in the world. There's different Kaychus in the world at different times. What the kaychus in the world right now are different than they were 10 minutes ago, which were different than they were half an hour before that. But the most dramatic differences in the world are day and night. Day has a whole different set of kaychus than night. And night is a completely different set than day. Different challenges, everything changes between night and day. So Kriya Shema, the reason why the men are mechoyev to say it both morning and night is because we have to bring the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awareness of the yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, both in the day realm and in the night realm. Both. Well, now, a couple more points. We're gonna tie some of this together in just a moment. Let's just a couple more points. we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Melech. We know he's the Melech of everybody, but we recognize him as Melech. You understand that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Melech over us is a diminishing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tzimtzum. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu really, the Etzem, has no connection to us whatsoever. We are not like him in any way. We have no relationship to him. We have no, there's nothing to compare. And any example we give of this is going to be deficient. But it'll be like this. Let's say there's a little ant farm that, you know, you have. You make it live in a little box with ants, and they make their little tunnels and all that. You're the king, you're the queen over the ant farm. It's ridiculous. You're the king of the ant farm. Like, even if the ants would listen to you, but it's ridiculous, right? It's like, I'm the king over the ant farm. The ants have no shaykhs to me. I have no shaykhs to them. What do you mean? Or better yet, you know, ants, at least they move quickly, they do things. Let's say it's a, a box, and in the box you have a few snails. I'm the king over the snails. It's like ridiculous. Like, what does that mean? I have a box of pencils. I'm the king over the box of pencils. Shaykhus, king over the box of pencils? I mean, what do pencils have to do with me? Now, pencils have much more to do with me than I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because at least pencils are physical, just like I'm physical. Pencils are made out of cells, just like I'm made out of cells. I use pencils. They're very useful to me. I can sharpen it and I can write with it. So I have shaykhus to pencils. And yet, it's ridiculous to say I'm the king over the box of pencils. But the relationship that I have with a pencil, as ludicrous as that is a much more powerful. In fact, there's a huge relationship between me and pencils compared to what there is between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no relationship between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have no, there is no shaychus, there's nothing about me that can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In no way at all. So you'll say, Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is also a borrowed term. If in some way we could somehow take the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and translate it into the physical world, which is impossible to do, but if there were, that we would come up with a human being. There's human being has some very, 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 very remote connection. That connection really is Bechira. That's really what it is. Because he gave us the ability to be Bechir, which really only he can do. So that in itself makes us a little bit godlike. But there's no shaykhus. So for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, I'm your Melech, and it matters to me that I'm your Melech. And I want you to recognize me as your Melech. And I want you to serve me like a Melech. And I'm going to take care of you like a Melech. It's just an unbelievable diminishing of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You see his anivus in this. Let's say snails could listen to what a human being tells them to do. So, could it possibly matter to you that the snails listen to you? I want you to listen to me, snails. I'm going to give you directions, how to behave. And I want to see you behaving properly with each other. And I'll give you food and water. I'll take care of you. And I don't want you disobeying me. There's going to be other food and water over there. I don't want you taking from that. Take only from this one, not from that one. And there's going to be some sweet water, which I don't want you touching. Only the non-sweet water. And we're going to create this whole system. Could it possibly matter to you? Could you see yourself caring at all what the snails do? Whether they listen to you or don't listen to you? Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares. Kiviyachol. So it's an unbelievable anivus on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we matter. That he wants to be our melech. And he wants us to recognize him as his melech. The Kabbalah's all Malchus Shamayim includes this aspect as well. So one last thing before we tie it together, for at least for what we're doing this week. I already mentioned this, but I'm going to say it a little bit more strongly now. Let's see, I'm going to pick up the words to read over here. The more that a person has kavana when they say Shema, and they are mekabel malchus ol malchus shamayim, and they proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu as echad, then there is a greater hisgalus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the belt. So, like this, let's take just various types of averis that there are. So we know that the internet has all kinds of pitfalls and there's all kinds of dangers and there's all kinds of temptations. For men it's one kind of temptation, but for women there's other types of temptations on the internet. It's just a very it's a very enticing, there's a lot of stuff in there that's enticing that's not kosher. Lots of stuff. Both for men and for women. Lashon Hara is a temptation for whatever reason, but we're tempted to speak Lashon Hara. It's not kosher. It's wrong. And then there's Midas. Some of us have tempers. Some of us are stingy. Some of us are lazy. Some of us are... some of us don't talk nicely necessarily. We have all kinds of midas, and we struggle. All of us struggle with different things. So, the typical way to deal with any kind of yetzer hara that we struggle with is to deal with it either directly or indirectly, but still deal with it. So let's take the internet. So for the internet, we're going to deal with it, right? We're going to make sure that whatever we have is filtered. We're probably going to have a password and maybe even have to share that password with somebody else so we don't have exclusive access. We're going to make sure that we use the internet in a public place so that we're not secluded and can do whatever we wish. It's going to be in front of other people. Maybe we'll even have we'll add a monitoring system to the internet so that any sites that we visit are automatically reported to somebody else. So we're doing all of this in order to protect ourselves from ourselves. Because we know that we're tempted and we know we do things that we shouldn't do. So we're going to put all these safeguards up. That's dealing with the problem directly. Then we might deal with the problem indirectly. We might learn Musar in order to remember how to behave. We might learn about the topic. We're dealing with the internet. For men, it would be learning about Shmirei Seinayim. For women, it would be learning about whatever the social things that go on the internet that are inappropriate, right? So perhaps learning about the pitfalls, that's a more of an indirect way. It's still dealing with it, but it's in a more indirect manner. Lashon Hara. So we might deal with directly. We'll be careful not to talk with certain people with whom we know we generally speak Lashon Hara. We might deal with it indirectly. We'll learn Shmiras HaLashon. That's really indirect because it's by learning Shmiras HaLashon that we become aware more of what's right and what's wrong and we'll be more careful. Maybe we'll learn about Avas Yisrael so we don't want to badmouth anybody. Perhaps we'll do it that way. But what the Rambam points out is that when you say Shema with Kavana and you're Mekabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you also not just accept but acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Achdus, when you do that, then you Memela bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world and you diminish the Kayach of Ra in the world. It's two things, but they're both going in the same direction. So that all these issues, I have a problem with a temper. I have a problem with laziness. I have a problem with the internet. I have a problem with Lashon Hara. Whatever the thing is, the another piece to battling the Yetzer Hara is by saying the first pasuk of Shema with Kavana. Where you think, we all know that when we say the first pasuk of Shema with Kavana, we're doing a big mitzvah, and mainly we're becoming better people. And if we're better people, then we will also naturally do better with our Yetzer Haras because we're better people. That's true. But it's bigger than that. It's not just, now I did a really big mitzvah, I'm a better person, so now I will be able to deal with my Yetzer Hara better. It's more than that. It's that by doing this particular mitzvah, the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes more revealed in the world, and the koyach of Ra becomes more diminished, and therefore all taivas become more blunted. And all ritzonos to do the right thing become greater. So that's what we have so far. We're going to continue. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what does it mean? Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. What to have kavanah for each Shema Yisrael? What is each word meant to connote? And what the kavanah should be? So Mr. Shem, we're going to talk about that. But this is so far what we have over here.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.